as a means of trying to encourage all of us to be more faithful in our ministry of reconciliation, we are examining the crowns that we might receive when we who are Christians must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The first crown that we looked at was the incorruptible crown, spoken of in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. We said for us to obtain such a crown, it takes being a servant, one who is willing to surrender rights, one who is willing to strive by showing self-control, one who is single-minded, doing it for God's glory, doing it for the good of others, and one who is willing to submit their body and the members of their body to the Lord and not to their lust. All of that in order to gain, that we might gain the lost, that we might gain the saved in the aspect of returning to their Lord. I'm wondering if God gave you an opportunity this week to receive the incorruptible crown by allowing you to be a servant to others in performing the ministry of reconciliation. Notice your very first purpose on your sheet as means of review. I purpose to continue to strive to receive the incorruptible crown by being a servant who sacrifices, who shows self-control, who is single-minded, who submits their body and its members to the Lord in order to gain others to the Lord. That's the incorruptible crown. But there are other crowns that a Christian may receive when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And may these crowns likewise motivate you and me to faithfully perform the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the next one that we're going to examine can be found in two places in the Bible. One is in Philippians 4:1, the other is in 2 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. There it's called our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing. I want us to, this morning, look at the context in which this crown appears so that we can see the works which we can perform in order to obtain it. Now, we don't work for our salvation, but we certainly work after our salvation. We mentioned that the incorruptible crown is for those who serve others that they might be saved and sanctified, that we might gain them. The crown of rejoicing is for those that stimulate others that they might be saved and sanctified. Stimulating. Well, let's take a look at our two references, read them, and then we'll look at them in their context. So get your finger in Philippians. Yep, Philippians chapter 4. All right. And then also 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now let's read, first of all, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. The crown of rejoicing is given to those who God uses to stimulate the unsaved to come to Christ, and then to stimulate the saved to conform to Christ. Back with me to Philippians chapter 4, Verse 1. I want us to see this verse in the context of which it's written. Philippians 4:1. Paul here is addressing those in the church of Philippi. And he says, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown. Now this phrase, my brethren, dearly beloved, they're terms of endearment. These terms of endearment, Paul would often speak just prior to give an exhortation. Let me show you what I mean. Just go flip back to chapter 2, verse 12. We're looking for the phrase, my beloved. All right, watch this term of endearment. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Term of endearment, and then comes the exhortation. Work out. He admonishes Christians here to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul is addressing professing Christians. Thus, he is referring to their salvation here from the power of sin over their life. And like our missionary, John Crocker, mentioned a few weeks ago, you and I are only able to do this in the Lord, in the power of his might. And he used Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 as his proof text. Well, it's kind of interesting. If we follow the next verse, Paul verifies that that is truly the fact, that you and I can only do this in the power of God. He says, I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Then he says this in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And he tells us to do all things without murmurings and disputings. You and I can only live this kind of life. You and I can only work out our salvation from the power of sin in our lives by God giving us both the desire and the doing of his good pleasure. Therefore, notice the purpose that I put forth here. I purpose to pray. You need to pray for the desire and for the doing of God's good pleasure as I, by faith, work out my salvation from the power of sin. Especially, in this context, from the sin of murmuring and disputing with others. Murmuring against and disputing with others. Now, what the context of chapter 2 reveals to us is that you and I must pray, we must practice being like-minded, having the same mind as Jesus Christ. That's what this chapter is teaching us. In Philippians 4:1, we read the phrase, okay, my brethren, my dearly beloved, long for my joy. This phrase, my joy, first appears right here in Philippians 2. Notice it in verse 2. Paul says in Philippians 2:2, for Philly, my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He wants the Christians here in this church to be like-minded. He wants them to have the same love, one accord, one mind. Do you know what that takes? Well, in the context of this text, of this chapter, it takes you working out your salvation. It takes you praying that God would give you the desire and the doing of his good pleasure in working out your salvation. Obviously, there were times that there were disputes going on in this church. Paul is calling on them to practice humility in serving and in submitting one to another. One's got to work out their salvation for this to happen. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. And if you didn't get it the first time he said it, he'll say it again. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He wants them to be like-minded with Christ, who had a very humble and submissive spirit. Look at verses 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And now we're right back to the aspect of you working out your salvation, to you praying to God that he would give you the desire and the doing of his good pleasure. Look at your purpose that I put forth on your sheet. I purpose to pray and ask God to give me the desire and the doing of his good pleasure while I strive to be like-minded with Christ, as evidenced by my willingness to demonstrate humility towards others by submitting and serving them instead of murmuring and disputing with them. Well, what we see here in this passage, Paul first gives a term of endearment, and then he gives an admonition. Admonition, I should say. Look what he does back here in chapter 4. Same thing. He begins, "Oh, my brethren, my dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy and crown." And then you know what he says after those terms of endearment? He says, "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, stand fast." I want us to see how Paul used that phrase, stand fast, earlier in this same epistle. Come back with me to chapter 1. Chapter 1. What does it mean to stand fast? In what sense are we to stand fast in the Lord? Well, in this passage, instead of standing fast in the Lord, it's called standing fast in the Spirit, but we know the Lord and Spirit are one, don't we? He says now in verse 27, I'm in Philippians 1:27, he says, "Only let your conversation, your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Hey, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Why? That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation and that of God. Standing fast in the Lord, standing fast in the Spirit, is an admonition to faithfully minister unto others the gospel, be they saved, be they unsaved. It is far more important in you and I being of one mind, working together, striving together for the faith of the gospel, than to be arguing and mumbling against one another. The point I'm trying to share with you is what we're going to see is this concept when he's saying, all right, you are my crown of rejoicing. I want you to stand fast. Well, the work that you and I are to perform to receive the crown of rejoicing is a work of unifying, a work of seeing that there is a oneness of mind, not your mind, not my mind, but the mind of Christ. You want to receive this crown, then we work together to have the mind of Christ. No mumbling, no grumbling, rather humbly serving one another. There must be no fighting with one another. Stand fast. No fighting with believers. And another aspect of this, what we see, is no fearing unbelievers. This phrase, stand fast, contains both those elements. You saw a little bit of right here. Verse 28 says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Standing fast, two aspects of standing fast. Here's two wings, if you will, of this bird. The one wing over here is, wait, I do not want you to fear unbelievers. On the other hand, it's the whole aspect, I don't want you to fight with believers. No fearing unbelievers, no fighting with believers. That's standing fast. The work that you must perform to receive the crown of rejoicing is standing fast. Now, is that the same thing here in chapter 4? Well, let's take a look at it, okay? Let's see the context. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crowned, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What comes next? Watch. Here's the context. He says, I beseech Euodia, and I beseech Syntyche. What? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Do you understand what's happening here? Instead of being like-minded, these ladies were mumbling and grumbling against one another. In a spirit of pride and lust, they were fighting against one another, fighting with one another. Paul here is calling on them to be like-minded. He wants this crown of rejoicing. He's saying, I want you to be like-minded in the Lord. He's calling on them to be like-minded. But he's also calling on others in the church to help them. This is our ministry. You look out, you say, well, I see so-and-so disputing with so-and-so. You want the crown of rejoicing? You see those two fellows reconciled, having the same mind as Jesus Christ. Now, what's that take? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes you working out your salvation. It takes them working out their salvation. I'll tell you what it takes. It takes God giving them the desire and the doing of his good pleasure. That's what it takes. He said, I can't change so-and-so's mind. Yes, you can, man. You get on your knees. You begin to pray. Call on God. God, give them the mind of Christ. Give them both the mind of Christ. Because until they both have the mind of Christ, there's going to be disputing and mumbling and grumbling. Pride and lust sprung up in them, between them. The result was that the gospel was being hindered. They were at war instead of peace. And by the way, listen, these women's names were written in the book of life. They had been laboring for the Lord. But now they allowed this dispute to come in between them. I said, boy, I sure would like to get a crown of joy. Oh, then you strive to be at peace with others. You strive to help them to be at peace with others. It's kind of interesting what follows. You know I've given you this formula 100 times, but I might as well give it to you again. How can these women be at peace with one another? Well, look what he tells them. He first tells them, verse 4, I want you to rejoice. I want you to praise God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always, you ladies. Quit your fighting. You men, rejoice. Give praise. What else can you do? Oh, hey, let your moderation, let your patience be known unto all men. Practice patience. You want to know why? Hey, the Lord's at hand. Praise patience. Oh, and by the way, let's do a little praying. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do not go in your prayer closet except you go in with a thankful spirit. Do not come out of your prayer closet unless you come out with a thankful spirit. Be thankful. And what's the end result? Well, here's what he says. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Anything else we're to do? Well, yeah, what are we to ponder on? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Hey, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think, ponder on those things. And of course, the last P is practice all of the above. Those things which you've heard and learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You know what happens? And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul's use of standing fast in this book involves Christians striving to be of the same mind as the Lord and assisting others to be with the same mind as the Lord so that we can have the peace of God, so that we can have the God of peace. So when you think of this concept of striving, there should be no fighting with believers. All right, look at your purpose. Because I desire the crown of rejoicing, I purpose to strive to be like-minded with my brethren in Christ and will assist fellow Christians to have the same mind in the Lord. Why? So that the gospel of Christ will not be hindered. Every one of us in this room know of a community that has become indifferent to the gospel because of a church in their local community was blown wide open because of fightings within the church. And it became such a bad testimony in the community that the gospel of Christ was hindered. We don't want that to happen. All right. So, stand fast. No fighting. Stand fast. No fearing. Come with me to 1st. Thessalonians chapter 2. What work can I work? Well, you stop fighting. You be one-mindedness. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find a second mention of it in verses 19 and 20. Oh, what's our hope? What's our joy? Or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, our glory is those that you and I have a part in seeing truly, truly getting saved. We receive the crown of rejoicing not because we've led many to profess Jesus Christ as Savior, but because God's used us to see some to possess the Lord Jesus Christ, as evidenced by them standing fast. As I mentioned earlier, this crown is for those who stimulate others to come to Jesus and to conform to Jesus in standing fast. By not fainting, as evidenced by fighting with others in the church or fleeing from others in the church. I've watched that. Standing fast involves us not fighting, but it also involves us not fleeing from the unsaved. In our recent study of 1 Thessalonians, we noted how the apostles, they were concerned that the Christians in the church here in Thessalonica, they were fearful that they might faint and fall away because they were receiving persecution from others. Look at chapter 2. Verse 13, let's lead into these two verses, all right? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you received of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God, which is in Judea in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and his own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence and not in heart, endeavor all the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Then he comes into these two verses. The context is that these people had been experiencing great suffering. He does not want them to faint. He wants them to demonstrate the crown of rejoicing by standing fast in the midst of persecution from unbelievers. You say, are you positive about this? Well, chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and we sent Timotheus, our brother, minister of God, fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Stand fast. Don't let persecution of unbelievers cause you to fall away, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it's come to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, have you stood fast? Have you fallen away? I sent to know your faith, lest that by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us, always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Standing fast in the Lord has two aspects. Standing fast in the Lord is the whole aspect, you know what? I'm not going to fight with my brethren. But I'm not going to be fearful of the unbelievers. That's what it means of standing fast in the faith. You say, well, how do I get this crown? Stand fast. Let me bring this message to a conclusion by having you do this with me, all right? Come over with me to 1 Corinthians, the passage we read this morning. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. We're at the end of Corinthians. Don't fight, don't fear, people. Stand fast. And when you stand fast, I'll tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get the crown of rejoicing. Here at the end of this chapter, this book, I should say, we read these two words, or these two verses. Watch ye, verse 13. Watch ye, he says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Quick, you like men, be strong. Hey, let all things be done with charity. Okay, quickly now. Let me just show you the context. He says this, verse 10. He says, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you, the church at Corinth, without fear. See, we can not only fear the unsaved, but we may fear our own believers. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. He says, look, don't be at war. When he comes, he shouldn't be fearing you. You guys shouldn't be fighting. I want you to stand fast in the faith. That's what he's saying here now. Look at verse 15. Right after he says verse 13, 14, he says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. He says, work together. Work together. Stand fast. Stand fast. You're going to find it in this context. Do not fight with unbelievers. Don't fight with believers. And don't fear believers. Don't fear the unbelievers. Look at your last purpose as we close today. Because I desire to receive the crown of rejoicing, I purpose to stimulate others to come to Jesus and to conform to Jesus in standing firm, by not provoking others to fight or flee, and by not being provoked by others to fight or flee. Incorruptible crown, crown for serving. Crown of rejoicing, crown for stimulating. But I want to tell you about both these crowns. Both involve sacrificing. One of the things you're going to find about the crowns, they all involve sacrificing. You can't receive these crowns without making some kind of sacrifices. Serve, stimulate. And as you stimulate others, stand fast. Don't fight. Don't fear. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you just for the opportunity to receive these crowns. We ask, Lord, you would bless us that we would be working out our salvation, praying, pleading, begging that you would give us both the desire and the doing of your good pleasure. And that, Lord, that we would be found standing fast in the faith, standing fast in God, in His Holy Spirit, standing fast as evidence by the fact that we don't fight with others, we don't fear others. Lord, I pray that you would just cause this church to be strong in the faith, standing fast, even until you should come. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.